I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's an interesting story out there that apparently Harris's campaign is allegedly rewriting headlines to make Harris look better. And here's
from actual
thing.
Yeah, from actual stories.
Now a lot of people don't realize that that's going on.
I can't believe that they even thought they had to rewrite the headlines to make Kamala Harris get better. That blows my mind. Steve Ducey reporting on that earlier this morning. And I want to get to our next guest, our friend Jason Chaffetz, back on the show with us. He's a Fox News contributor, and he wrote the book on it, The Puppeteers. And I encourage you to check that out. Jason Chaffetz, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The coverage of Kamala Harris has been so harsh and difficult that you can't really blame the campaign, the Harris campaign, for going in and trying to spruce things up for her.
Yeah, you know, you make a great point, because if they weren't already in the bag, if they wasn't already getting these softball stories and they're just fawning over her, for somebody who doesn't do interviews, doesn't do press conferences, hasn't sat down with reporters, never takes a hard question, just taking sort of that bunker mentality and, oh, I'll go ahead and read a pre-written script to my staff in front of an audience. The idea that she would have the audacity to rewrite the headlines, and these are major news outlets, you know, the Associated Press and others, and it begs the question, A, why didn't these news organizations know this is happening? Because they're feigning that they had no idea that these Facebook ads were happening. And the second part is, how come they're not writing stories about how they're being misrepresented by this fake campaign of Kamala Harris?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, if the roles were reversed and Donald Trump was doing this, the entire lead headline today was how all of these media entities were so offended that they would try to step on the toes of journalism and try to change the way reporting is going in a political favor. I suggest, and you've done politics, you've run for office, you've been very successful, you walked away on your own accord, and that's something that not everybody gets to do in politics. I want to see Donald Trump's campaign stop pushing for her to do interviews and just start using Kamala Harris's own words to put her on record on all of these issues, so that Kamala Harris can either choose to let her words speak for her when she's talking about Medicare for All and closing down detention centers for immigrants. Just use her words against her. And if she needs to clarify, she will have to find the interview to do it.
100% agree. Donald Trump's and the challenge for the campaign is to just, it's a true choice election, right? It's a choice election. You can take almost every issue that matters, and you can see the contrast between the two. Border, safety, security, foreign affairs, inflation, the economy, Medicare for all of these things, sanctuary cities, you know, all of these positions, the candidates are really different. And yet she's never been able to go out there. And you know this, Annie, you follow this as close as anybody. Kamala Harris is now trying to flip-flop and say that, oh, you know, let's not tax tips. Oh, what a great idea I just had. We all know that Donald Trump came out with this months before she did.
You know, go ahead.
And to try to, try to gaslight people now and try to rewrite history about the border and border security. Come on. She's been in charge, and she has made it worse, not better. Don't tell us that this is all Donald Trump's fault.
Do you think that the Kamala Harris campaign did that to troll the Trump campaign? It's not like somebody showed up the next day and like facepalmed and goes, oh my gosh, that was a Trump policy. They had to know.
They had to know, but I think they think we're idiots. I think they think the public are idiots. And, you know, for the most part, if you watch the traditional mainstream corporate media, people are being fed a bunch of malarkey. I mean, they're just being fed this garbage that isn't reporting. There's no intellectual curiosity. They're not even pointing out how their own companies, their own brands are being misrepresented, in this case, the Facebook ads. That should be a lead story. If they're rewriting a post, that should be out there.
Yeah. Completely. We're speaking to Jason Chaffetz. You can learn more about him at jasoninthehouse.com. I want to talk to you. I want to tie in your book here, because I've got The Puppeteers, which is your latest book. up on my screen here, and you've got some very cute cartoon characters, and then they have these heads on them. Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, and Kamala Harris are the three that I want to highlight. It seems as though there's trouble in paradise for the Democrat Party in D.C. Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are actually naming names in interviews amongst themselves. I assume that Joe Biden and likely Jill Biden are not too happy with the state of their situation in D.C. right now. If everything is being controlled in the background in D.C. to keep a status quo, what's going on right now when these very top players that you've written about in The Puppeteers are not necessarily getting along?
Well, this is what should scare America, because if you really look, you start to peel back the layers, you start to find and read about the teachers' unions and all these non-government organizations and these financial people out there like BlackRock and others. And you understand that they're the ones that are really calling the shots, that they have people that have toggled in and out of the administration. They go back and forth between the organizations. I mean, nobody in their right mind can say, oh, yeah, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they've been pulling all the levers here. And Joe Biden is now evidently finally admitting and saying out loud that, yeah, he was pushed out of the race. Which begs the question, why did he let it happen? Why did they do the debate, the earliest debate in the history of debates? I think people will be shocked if they were to read Puppeteers and go through and look at how manipulative they are in how they do it. And these are the kind of the deep state folks that make, it's the people who control America.
Yeah.
That's what the book's all about.
Yeah, you literally wrote the book on this. I mean, when Kamala Harris is the nominee and she never had to go through a process of earning that position, she was handed that position. I'm kind of scared to ask you this question because I'm afraid of the answer. But does it surprise you that it was so easy for the Democrats to make this the case?
Well, and it wasn't all the Democrats. And this is where you wonder where are all the Democrats? Because it's the Democratic elitists that are making these decisions. Your rank and file Democrat who lives in Missouri or Oregon or whatever, they don't even get to participate in this. They don't get to vote. Kamala Harris is now going to be the Democratic nominee, having not earned a single vote. And when she was up for election, she was running in her own state of California. She eventually dropped out because she was polling in sixth place behind your Andrew Yang in the state of California. I mean, Democrats, the rank and file, evidently don't like her, but now she's going to be the nominee.
This wasn't on my list of things to talk to you about, but because of this conversation, I'm curious how RFK Jr. in your mind politically fits in all of this. While there was a little bit of a purgatory there where it's like Joe Biden's not the person, who is going to be the person? Is it going to be Kamala? RFK Jr. is like, essentially, I'm a Democrat, I'll do it. And he just gets shoved aside. Nobody wants to listen to what he has to say. We've heard from Tulsi Gabbard what happened to her when she tried to honestly go about winning the nomination for the Democrat nominee. It's really nasty seeming. And it seems as though that there's like a charade that takes place to make us plebs feel like we're participating in a system when they'll allow us to participate in it if it serves their ultimate purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, since when did the Democrats not like a Kennedy? I mean, that shows how far they have lurched to the left. I mean, it's just unrecognizable to the Democratic Party of old. They are truly taking on this lunatic left progressive, and their policies are just so radical. And that's what's scary about Kamala Harris, is that she seems to morph into whatever. And she doesn't have driving principles other than I want power and I want to be elected. Mm. What does she really stand for? I mean, because she's taking the major issues of today, and you go out and look at them and they're wildly unpopular. So she just says, well, you know, hey, I am tough on the border and I was a tough prosecutor and I did it. Yeah. Meanwhile, you were in Minnesota helping to bail people out as fast as possible so they could get back to those riots and, you know.
Yeah. And everybody,
Governor Walz wasn't shutting it down because, you know, he was fine with it.
Everybody can access all of those facts on their own if they choose to.
Yeah.
I want to ask you before we let you go, you know, you, like I said, the book, The Puppeteers, that you've written about the deep state. I got to think that once you've really dug deep and exposed the problem, that you have some thoughts in mind as to how to get us back on track to fix it, to make sure that we do have a government that's for the people. What do you think is the first step in doing that?
Well, first you got to expose it. You got to show it for what it really is. And then you have to defund it. You have to starve the beast, so to speak, because a lot of this is empowered by federal dollars. You know, they talk about the Inflation Reduction Act. It wasn't that. It was $350 billion for their Green New Deal agenda and putting a Podesta in charge of it, one of the biggest Democratic operatives behind the scenes that you read about in the puppeteers. That's how they do things. They do it with money. And they've been able to get hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars to move their agenda forward. And these non-government organizations. And so you have to learn about it. Then you got to neuter it or defund it and starve the beast. And that's when America will start to take its country back, I think, and say, hey, no, enough. We've had enough.
Do you think that Trump would do that? Does he have the willingness to make that happen?
I think he had a great start. I would love to see him have four more years to really get after it and make those types of things happen, because he, I think he's more than ever committed to doing that. He started to do that. But you still have to toe the hard line and cut spending. And everybody just can't have their hand out. And I think he really does truly understand that.
Well, we appreciate you, Jason Chaffetz, for being with us today. And I encourage people to read the book, because I think it's apropos today as much as it ever has been. So thank you for the time.
Thanks,
we're really
Sammy.
Grateful for
thank
it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, what a pleasant, normal guy. He spoke at one of the Vitae Foundation events that I did in October, and I sat at a table with him. And I've sat at tables with impressive people quite a bit. I'm honored to have had the opportunity to do that. I'm usually not the impressive person at the table when I'm doing that. I'm an MC, or very honored to be hosting an event for somebody.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And they have a speaker come in, and he was one of them. And he was so normal. And I know that, like, we see people on the TV and the news, they're kind of like news nerd celebrities for people like you and me, who are like, oh, it'd be great to meet this person or that senator or this pundit, whatever. I was excited to hear his pro-life speech that he gave at that event. But being able to sit at that table and listen to him, he was so normal and so accessible and so whatever the humble, I guess, is the opposite of pretentious. And it took me back that he was so willing to just talk to everybody at the table like they were just people. And he's always been a great, great friend of the show to be able to come on and do stuff. And The Puppeteers, man, that is a book that if you have time, get that and read it right now, because you want to comb through what he has learned serving in the House of Representatives and being very high level on committees that were able to see how stuff was moving through our federal government. The Puppeteers, that's the way to go. He was the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. So he saw some things. JasonInTheHouse.com. The book is called The Puppeteers. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, we come back. I think the last thing that we settled on for Wiggins America was non-fast food related news, which is broad and yet for Ryan still specific. So we'll see what that is in Wiggins America on the Annie Fry Show next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.